Ocean FM. You're very welcome to Arts Northwest on Ocean FM, broadcasting from the Glen's Art Centre in Manor Hamilton. It's Misha Brendan Murray. On the sound is Mark Gavin. And this week's programme is a special dedicated to one of Ireland's finest and most famous fiddlers, Steve Wickham of Waterboys fame. Steve is based in County Sligo and has been here for quite a number of years. And this, I suppose, is his home from home. That's in about 5 minutes or so. Hard to believe we're into the month of March already, despite the fact, the feeling that January and February were two of the longest months ever. Welcoming back Maeve McGowan from the Hawkswell in Sligo. Maeve, give us a run through what's happening for the month of March. I know you're very active online, like you have a daily series with Love from Sligo.
We have, Brendan. Lovely to be back. So yeah, we have been, I suppose, sharing the love from Sligo since Valentine's Day up until St. Patrick's Day. And because we're all locked down within 5 kilometres, we decided to share some of the fantastic music and some of the theatre and poetry from the region and shine a light on Sligo in our online programming. So we've had Cathy Jordan singing live on Facebook with songs from Sligo for a week in the last month. And we had Oisín McDiarmada just completed tunes from Sligo every day live on Facebook. And we had the first performance on Sunday from our Home to Yours series. So Oisín and his wife Samantha Harvey performed and did a lovely set there on Facebook Live. So all of these performances can be seen on our website now as well. And throughout March, we're continuing the series. So all through this week, we have videos going up online at 5 o'clock from various artists in our Words and Music series. So we have a selection of poets such as Etna Hand and musicians like Shamie O'Dowd, Amy O'Hara, Niamh Crowley, people who have written songs about Sligo or poems about Sligo or theatre pieces. So we've Bob Kelly, Niamh McGrath, Miriam Needham, a whole selection of people and some newcomers that people may not know of. We've a local band who've written a song about Sligo. And so it's all pieces that celebrate our area that we're all living in at the moment.
Fantastic. So that's at 5 o'clock each day. Again, just for listeners, everything you will get at in the hawkswell.com website. And then I see you have Trad Babies, which is an interesting thing in conjunction with Roscommon Arts Centre and the Dock.
Yeah, so this is part of a music series for young children that we've been running live, I suppose, over the last few years. And we've decided to record one of these performances. We're putting it up for St. Patrick's Day. And as you say, we're doing this in conjunction with Roscommon Arts Centre and the Dock in Carrick and Shannon. So on St. Patrick's Day, if you go onto our website or the websites of those other venues, you'll be able to watch this show. And so it's trad and it's introduced in a gentle way for young children and all children, I think, and families will enjoy this on St. Patrick's Day. Lovely, so it's a lovely show.
Nice idea. And then finally, tell us about Paddy's Day.
So yes, so the other things that are going on for St. Patrick's Day are we have a lovely programme of poetry and readings from writers in Sligo that we've put together with Nicola McEvely. And Nicola will be making a series of calls either via Zoom online or the traditional way, a traditional phone call. Throughout St. Patrick's Day, she'll be calling all around the world to read from these selections for people. So whether it's poems by Yeats, which are proving very popular, and also some contemporary pieces by living poets, such as Jessamine O'Connor and Etna Hand, and readings from Sebastian Barry, some pieces by Una Mannion, Michael Gorman. There's a whole beautiful selection that you can see on our website. So,
fantastic.
And this is free of charge. You just book in your slot and Nicola will make the call to the person you would like to hear that poem. And it's Sharing the Love from Sligo.
Lovely idea. That's with Sligo Musicians Online Festival Community. Yeah.
That's A Call from Sligo is with Nicola McEvely. And then we also have the music festival with Sligo musicians. This started last year. Shamie O'Dowd and Sally Begg set up the Sligo online musical community as soon as the lockdown started, and musicians started sending in videos and live recordings on St. Patrick's Day. So this year we're working with them to put that together. So there'll be a festival of music happening from our Facebook page and also from the Sligo Musicians online page. And that'll be going on from 3 o'clock with performances including Kathy Jordan until 6 o'clock, and then bands that evening at 8 o'clock.
And that's a bring your own can into your front room with you.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Maeve, that's such you really are being so imaginative, engaging with people online, because as we know, the frustration of not being able to open live. The very best of luck with it, Maeve. We'll keep in touch. Maeve McGowan from the Hawkswell, Míle Míle Buíochas. You're very welcome, Steve.
Thanks very much, Brennan. Great to be
and
here.
And that's my first question, I suppose, an urbanite dub. What brought you to Sligo?
That's a very, very long winded question,
and
probably not the right place. But I fell in love with a woman who lived down these parts, and or had a house down here, and we moved from Dublin. We were both dubs, actually. And back, this is about 26 years ago, there was a thing called urban resettlement in Dublin. They were moving people out of inner city Dublin. But of course I got a taste for the west of Ireland working with the Water Boys in Spittle, and really after, you know, spending nearly a year in Spittle on two albums, Fisherman's Blues and Room to Roam, I got a real taste for the west of Ireland. And we looked at loads of places. We went to Doolin, we went down to different places in the west, and their family, my ex-partners, had a house in North Sligo, and the rest is history, as they say.
And tell us, I know we'll talk about the Water Boys, of course, shortly, but I know you're studying fine art at the moment.
I am.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I'm going to resist all the how many strings to your bow jokes and all that. But and you have bees, and you know.
I do keep bees, yeah.
Produce honey. Yeah. Well, they produce the honey for you.
They do.
But have you found, obviously you have, because I know you were hugely influential on the direction that the Water Boys took when you became involved with the Water Boys, I suppose taking them from a more mainstream rock pop, bringing in a traditional element to it. Did you find the West, its environment was influential on you in that way?
Well, yes, I think it was. I think geography definitely plays a part in the sound of a record. Absolutely, you know, you're in that culture, whatever the culture is in that place. Certainly for the Water Boys. I mean, I think the direction of the Water Boys, it was because I was playing a fiddle. I'm a fiddle player. You know, fiddle players in rock bands, they don't really, there's not that many of them. And I think, you know, that's the influence of that. A fiddle brings in a whole lot of, it's a voice from a folky world, I suppose. And when it finds itself in a rock band, there's a bit of, how would you say the word, a bit of compromise made sound-wise with the kind of sound you're going to make when you get a fiddle. This is my own personal opinion. And then when you get into the geography of a place, moving out to the west of Ireland, we went to Spittle to record, but we'd also looked at places like Dingle. I have a great friend down there, Seamus Begley, who's the box player.
Yes.
And Steve Cooney, who was a guitar player. And so we went down there with an idea of going down there, and there was a fantastic music scene. And then I met Sharon then in Doolin. She was living there with Owen O'Neill. So that was another possibility of a milieu to find. But in Spittle, there was a vibrant scene there as well.
Was it trad that you started playing as a youngster?
No, not at all, really. Classical. I went to the College of Music in Dublin, Chatham Row. And trad, being a dub, really, you know, my parents were listening to jazz and pop.
Right.
They're kind of, their kids of the 30s and 40s, my parents are from. And so the music we grew up listening to was very jazzy. And my dad was quite a jazz fan. He was into Bix Beiderbecke and all these heads, you know, that Wow. Didn't mean anything to me until I got a lot older.
Yeah.
And my mum was into Little Richard and you know, Rolling Stones and that era, rock and roll, really. There were sounds. And then my granny was there. And, you know, my granny was listening to a lot of ballady kind of things, you know.
Sure.
So there's a big milieu of music that you're listening to growing up. But I studied classical music with Nell Kane, who turned out to be the teacher of John Sheehan as well. It was John Sheehan's violin teacher.
Dubliner's fame,
and Glenn Hansard.
Right.
We all had Nell Kane as our violin teachers.
Wow.
So she was quite a character, and this is very much a classical vibe, yeah.
Well, let's have a listen to a sample of your all your influences, I suppose, coming together. And I'm also delighted to welcome in Ray Cohn on guitar and Anna Houston on cello and mandolin. And we're delighted that we were able to, socially distanced, come into the Glens and have some live music playing again. Here's Dunford's Fancy. Thank you. when you your I suppose your first band of note was in Tuonua.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, they were going to be, you know, the next big thing, if you like. And then you met up with The Edge, I think, and that kind of put you in a different direction, didn't it? Am I mixing up the chronology?
You're mixing up the chronology a little bit, actually. I got my first break meeting The Edge at the bus stop. I had left the bank. I was working at the bank and had gone busking with my cousin to Europe. And I came back and I met The Edge at a bus stop. And by curious coincidence, I just heard U2's first record the week before. I'd kind of written them off because I'd seen them when I was a teenager. They came to play in our school and they were about, we were all about 15, 16, 17, really, you know, young teenagers. And they had a band and they were called, they were the same guys, but they had a band, they were called The Hype or Feedback they were called. So Bono was about 16 or 17 and there was a girl in my class that played flute in their band. So it was Bono, The Edge, Larry and Aoife or Niamh. Nice. And they were called Feedback. And they did Knights in White Satin, I remember, and an Eagles song and something else. So I knew these guys, they were the U2 guys. And I kind of, oh God, I didn't rate them at all. But then the week before I met Edge, speed on about 6 years, I'm in 21 or something like that. And I heard the first record and I thought, that's the same guys. Well, that's a pretty good record. That's really, really amazed. I was amazed at the record. And I met The Edge and I went up to him on the bus stop and I said, listen, do you need a fiddle player? And he says, you know, we might. And he took my number. What's your number? And he took my number down and I got on my bus home and he got on his bus home. And I got a call from him the next week. And actually that changed my life in many ways because I'm a fiddle player, you know, and I'm playing with a rock band, which I had played in rock bands with my cousin and that. And there was I wasn't a stranger to drums and guitars and all that. And sure. I plugged in and I was quite ready because I'd done 8 years in college music and I'd had my licks and it was in the right place at the right time for me. And I'd been in the bank and I'd left, you know.
So you made the decision to leave the bank, a bit like Christy Moore, had you, to pursue a career in music.
Definitely, yeah.
Wow, yeah. And I'm sure your parents were pleased.
They were devastated, yeah, actually. Sure.
And so where did this kind of veer into trad then?
What happened was I got playing with U2 in Tuonua, started farming in about 1982, about the same time that I had been playing on Sunday Bloody Sunday. And then I'd met Vinnie Kilduff from playing with U2 when we went out live. Vinnie was playing pipes on the song on October, their earlier album.
And of course Vinnie played with you subsequently in the Waterboys.
Well, yeah, we started a friendship then, of course. Yeah. And Vinnie came and joined in Tuonua and then played, that's right, with the Waterboys. And he went on to play with Clannad and loads of other people.
I heard a rumour of a golden age and the stage is getting set. I heard a rumour of a golden age and the stage is getting set. I heard a rumor of a golden age and song on screen and printed page, and all the world will be its stage, and the stage is getting set. I've seen the glow of a golden dawn, and the dawn is coming through. I've seen the glow of a golden dawn, and the dawn is coming through. I've seen the glow of a golden dawn, and all will wake to gaze upon. And though the hour is hard and long, the dawn is coming true. Felt the wind behind my heels, and it feels good to me. I felt the wind behind my heels. My soul fired up like Catherine Wills. And I'm never gonna forget how it feels. And it feels good. Shimmering sea, I saw a ship come sailing in. I stood on the side of the shimmering sea, said, Lord, I surrender.
And subsequently then, I mean, I know you've played with the likes of, as you mentioned, U2, but, you know, you've played with Sinead O'Connor, Elvis Costello, mm-hmm. And you've done a lot of touring around the world.
I've always said it's a kind of a wooden passport. You know, a musical instrument is your passport. You're really signing on to that life. You have to travel to make a living, pay the mortgage, feed the kids and everything else. And, I mean, I have often thought myself that the motivation to do what I'm doing was born out of a need to see the world as much as to be a musician. So I'm kind of, that's it. I've done a lot of traveling. I've worked out, my airline miles over the years. If an airplane travels at 500 kilometres an hour, and then the amount of hours that I've spent flying in airplanes in my life as a musician has brought me to the moon and back maybe twice.
You played on Fisherman's Blues and then Room to Roam, and then you kind of stood away from the Waterboys for...
I left the Waterboys, yeah.
For about
I left.
10 or 12 years, was it?
It was about 10 years, yeah. I left. I went into a rehearsal studio one day. We were about to go out on the road with Room to Roam, and I wasn't very happy. I'd gone through a divorce, and I just felt my life... I had no control over my life. If people were saying to me, you're off in Australia next week or you're off in here, I had no control. I was being moved around. So there was the pressure of that. And then I walked into a recording, to a rehearsal studio, and the drummer had been fired and I hadn't known anything about it. I met the drummer coming out and he was a real old friend of mine. And I just, something told me, time to leave, time to go. Nice. And of course, we were about to tour an album and it wasn't very popular. But myself and Mike Scott from the Waterboys stayed great friends.
And where did you first hook up with Mike Scott and the Waterboys?
Mike hired my playing on a demo for Sinead. Sinead had been in Tuonua, or had sung in Tuonua earlier on. She'd done demos and written songs, but we had to choose between Sinead and Leslie Dowdall. And Sinead was only about 15 or 16, wow. So we thought that she was too young.
Yeah.
And Leslie was 17. And I knew Sinead. And then Sinead, when Sinead got a record deal, she was about 18, and she signed to a record company called Ensign in London. And she was doing her demos in a studio with a fellow called Carl Wallinger, who was later of World Party, and at that time played keyboards in the Waterboys.
Made a fortune out of Robbie Williams.
That's right, Angel. He wrote some beautiful songs. Yes. Carl is a great song, beautiful songwriter. Yeah. And so Carl heard my fiddle playing, played the demo to Mike. Mike heard the fiddle and said, I want that fella come over and play on the album, This Is The Sea.
I think it's fair to say This Is The Sea is a seminal album in rock music. Popular music, really, isn't it? It's an incredible album.
It's a great album, yeah.
And I mean, live, there's nobody like the Waterboys live.
Yeah, it's a long time ago, Brennan. I mean, that's 1985. I mean, you know, I was very fortunate in my musical connections that I made throughout my life. It helped me to meet some really great songwriters. Yeah. Sinead is a great songwriter. Yes. Carol is a great songwriter. Yeah. Mike, great songwriter.
For sure.
And, you know, I was very lucky in that respect. I was also very ambitious. So, you know...
Were you? That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
So Waterboys, you know, offered me a chance to go to America and play on the record. And I ditched into Inua.
Yeah.
And... you know, so I had seven great friends in Intuanua and I ditched them for this life, you know. So
that's the biz, do you know what I mean? That's the way it works.
Yeah, that is the biz. I mean, that is the biz.
I doubt any of them begrudged you doing that, you know.
Hated me.
They're over it now, I'm sure.
We're all over it now. Indeed. Yeah, we're all great friends now, actually. Yeah. We talk to each other.
For sure.
We actually joined up in bands afterwards. After I left the Waterboys, yeah. I went. Yeah. In a band with the drummer of Intuanua, Paul, yeah. The Texas Kelly. So, you know, nobody really, in the heel of the hunt, we're just making music and trying to do the best we can.
Please do tune in again next week to hear the rest of our chat with Steve Wickham, the ways and words of a Waterboy. Wemsha Brendan Murray, Brigade Sloan from the Glens Arts Centre in Manorhandon. Many thanks to Mark Gavin on sound. And thanks to our sponsors, Pubble, the Arts Council and Leitrim County Council. Stay safe.